30. Goodbye. In the early 1680s, at just about the time that Edmund Halley and his friends Christopher Wren and Robert Hooke were settling down in a London coffee house and embarking on the casual wager that would result eventually in Isaac Newton's Principia, Henry Cavendish's Weighing of the Earth, and many of the other inspired and commendable undertakings that have occupied us for much of the past 400 pages, a rather less desirable milestone was being passed on the island of Mauritius, far out in the Indian Ocean, some 800 miles off the east coast of Madagascar. There, some forgotten sailor or sailor's pet was harrying to death the last of the dodos, the famously flightless bird whose dim but trusting nature and lack of leggy zip made it a rather irresistible target for bored young tars on shore leave. Millions of years of peaceful isolation had not prepared it for the erratic and deeply unnerving behaviour of human beings. We don't know precisely the circumstances, or even year attending the last moments of the last dodo, so we don't know which arrived first, a world that contained a Principia, or one that had no dodos, but we do know that they happened at more or less the same time. You would be hard-pressed, I would submit, to find a better pairing of occurrences to illustrate the divine and felonious nature of the human being, a species of organism that is capable of unpicking the deepest secrets of the heavens, while at the same time pounding into extinction, for no purpose at all, a creature that never did us any harm and wasn't even remotely capable of understanding what we were doing to it as we did it. Indeed, dodos were so spectacularly short on insight, it is reported, that if you wished to find all the dodos in a vicinity, you had only to catch one and set it to squawking, and all the others would waddle along to see what was up. The indignities to the poor dodo didn't end quite there. In 1755, some 70 years after the last dodo's death, the director of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford decided that the institution's stuffed dodo was becoming unpleasantly musty, and ordered it tossed on a bonfire. This was a surprising decision, as it was by this time the only dodo in existence, stuffed or otherwise. A passing employee, aghast, tried to rescue the bird, but could save only its head and part of one limb. As a result of this, and other departures from common sense, we are not now entirely sure what a living dodo was like. We possess much less information than most people suppose, a handful of crude descriptions by unscientific voyagers, 3 or 4 oil paintings, and a few scattered osseous fragments, in the somewhat aggrieved words of the 19th-century naturalist H. E. Strickland. As Strickland wistfully observed, we have more physical evidence of some ancient sea monsters and lumbering sauropods than we do of a bird that lived into modern times and required nothing of us to survive except our absence.